Welcome to the podcast of Casper Faith Assembly. This podcast is presented in the context of our Sunday morning service. We hope you enjoy this presentation.
Christmas. We want to welcome back all of our college students this morning who are home for Christmas break. It's good to have you back. And also, how many college kids are back today? There's a few of you. Great to have you here. Great to have you here. Also want to welcome our guests who are here for the first time. If you have never been here before, now we're not going to ask you to raise your hand. We're not going to embarrass you. But we want you to know that we are so glad you're here today. And our hope is that you sense and experience God's presence this morning. And maybe you might think, that kind of sounds weird, you know, that I can experience God's presence. But here's the thing. Jesus, when he came, he was called Emmanuel. And Emmanuel means God is here. God is with us. And that was God's plan, is that we would experience him through the birth of his son. And so our prayer is that you would experience God's presence this morning, and it would be the start of something wonderful in your life. All right, we are in our Christmas series, God's Presence. Hopefully you finished your shopping. How many are done shopping? How many still have a few days, have a little bit to accumulate yet? There's about half and half, 50-50. You know, there's 5 shopping days left, so good luck. Don't wait to the very end because it's all picked over. But I hope that you get everything you need. And as we're talking about God's presence today, we're not talking about presents that are made out of cloth or plastic or metal or shiny, you know, gems and that kind of thing. We're talking about gifts that are far more priceless, far more valuable than that. We've been looking in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, at the names that Isaiah gives the coming son. The names that he gives him, and these really aren't actual names, they're more descriptions of what the son would do for us. They're descriptions of the blessings, of the promises, of the roles that God wants to play in our life. And take a look in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. It says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor." If you take out your notes this morning from your bulletin, the presence of Jesus brings his presence. And the first present we talked about the first week is that he is our Wonderful Counselor. And as that gift, as that role, Jesus gives us guidance and he gives us direction. Have you ever needed guidance or direction in your life before? You've been at a crossroads. You've had a decision you needed to make. God wants to be the guidance giver. He wants to give us his advice. His advice is good. His advice is enduring. It's relevant, and it's always there for us. That's the first gift we have through the Son, Jesus Christ. Then it says in Isaiah that he is a mighty God. And we talked about this one last week, where God gives us power and he gives us protection. He gives us power and his protection. His power is creative. He creates things in our life. He can create something out of nothing. He can create favor. He can create opportunity. He can create life in you. Maybe you've got a relationship. Maybe your marriage is on the rocks. God can restore life and love and vibrancy to that. He can create healing in your body. He can give you strength. His power is strong in battle, and you can conquer temptation and sin. You can conquer discouragement and depression, fear and anxiety. God's power is for all gamuts of life, every facet of life, and that's what he gives to us as our mighty God. The next one we're going to look at and focus on today is that he is called our everlasting Father. And if you're taking notes this morning, as our everlasting Father, Jesus gives us intimacy and care. Jesus gives us intimacy and care. Now, before we dive into this morning, we need to address something that may be kind of confusing as you look at this part of the prophecy, because Isaiah says this son, Jesus, is going to be called Everlasting Father. And yet, when you look in the New Testament, Jesus is clearly revealed as the Son of God. Probably one of the most famous scripture verses in the world is seen on television, John 3:16. You see those signs held up. And what it says is, God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Jesus is revealed as a son. When he was baptized in the Jordan River, God the Father spoke from heaven and he said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And so the question is, if Jesus is the Son, then how come he's also called the Everlasting Father? How can the Son be the Father at the same time? The thing you have to realize is that these names are not the actual names. He is not the Father, but they are descriptive of what he would bring. Jesus brings us counsel. Jesus brings us the guidance. Jesus brings us the power of God. And through his sacrifice on the cross, Jesus brings us an everlasting Father. In the Old Testament, there is a revelation that God is a father to us. But most of the time, he is seen as a judge, as a lawgiver, as a king, as a creator, kind of this authority figure. Take a look in your notes there. There's some blanks. The Old Testament, 16 times, there are 16 references to God as our Father. 16 times. But when you flip on over to the New Testament, there are 271 references that God is our Father. When Jesus came on the scene, he brought this revelation of a father to the very forefront of the gospel. In fact, when he was teaching the disciples how to pray, he didn't say, you know, our king. He didn't say, when you pray, say our master or our Lord or our great one. He said, call God your father. Call him your father. Because you see, before Jesus died on the cross, we were separated from God by our sin. We couldn't know him as a father. The Apostle Paul wrote to the Ephesian Christians in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14, "He himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation." Our sin separated us. It was a wall between us and God, and Jesus tore the wall down. He created access for you and I to know God as our Father. Now, those aspects of Master and King and Lord, those are important. We can't diminish those, because here's the thing. They communicate honor and respect, and you cannot love someone without honor and respect in your life. If you don't love them, if you love them, you will honor, you will respect them. And so that's why those concepts are so vitally important. But for some of you here this morning, when you think of the term father, it doesn't carry a very good meaning to you. For some of you, due to maybe neglect or death, the word father is a negative term. Maybe your father was mean. He was abusive. He was cruel on multiple levels. And so when you think of a father and think of God as a father, it really doesn't compute. Maybe your dad was there and he wasn't bad, but he was just kind of aloof. I mean, he was there in body, but not really in mind, not really in emotions. He wasn't there. He didn't give you the father's love. And this morning, if that's the case, God wants to do a work in your heart. He wants to do a new work in your soul, in your emotions, in your mind, and he wants to bring healing to that. God wants to transform the way you see a father and give you wholeness in your life. He wants to reveal that as a father, he wants to have intimacy with you and that he does care for you. that he is involved and attentive to your life. That he's gentle and he's kind. That he's patient and he's gracious. That he's merciful and forgiving. He's caring, he's considerate. And he wants to be up close and personal with you, not distant and removed. This morning, as we talk about how Jesus makes God a father to us, we're going to look at some aspects of the fatherhood of God. They're there in your notes. If you're taking notes this morning, the first aspect we want to look at is the Father's attention. The Father's attention. God pays attention to us. He's not like the parents that on purpose lock their kids in the car and then they go in the store and they do their shopping. God's not like that. He doesn't just say, well, I'm going to lock you away. I don't want to have anything to do with you right now, and I'll come back later when it's convenient. That's not how God is. His attention is always there. He doesn't do that, and he doesn't accidentally forget about us. Okay? I remember when my kids were very young, we came home from church one Sunday night, and it was late, and the kids were tired, and it was... we just wanted to get them to bed. And so I got my laptop and my briefcase, and I'm carrying my stuff in, and my all of us were getting the kids into bed, and everything's kind of calm, and we're going, wait a second, where's the baby? Where's Michaela? And it's like, where do we set her down? And it's like, the only thing I can think of is like, I know I brought her out of the church. I carried her in the car seat. That's the last place I can remember. So I run downstairs into the garage, and I turn on the lights, and I open the van door, and there she is just sleeping in her car seat. So, and it's like, oh, thank goodness, you know. Here's the thing. God doesn't accidentally forget you and turn the lights out. Sorry, Michaela. Love you very much. I won't say what I did to my son one time. Anyway, he's scarred for life, I tell you. God's attention is on you constantly. You're never out from his watchful, caring eye. This is what David wrote, the psalmist, in Psalm 32, verse 8. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. There's that counseling aspect, that aspect of being with us. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. His eye is upon you this morning. Maybe you're here today and you're struggling with something. You feel like God's not watching over me. Friends, this is a promise. Psalm 32, verse 8. Write it down in your notes right now and say, okay, God, your eye is on me. You're watching over me. You do care about me. He is attentive to you. He's not blind to your situation. He hasn't forgotten about you on purpose or by accident. God is watching you. I want you to say, God's watching me. He knows me. He knows right where you're at, and he knows what you're going through. We're told by the gospel writer Luke in chapter 12 of his gospel about how great God's attention is. In verse 6, it says, are not five sparrows sold for 2 copper coins? And not one of them is forgotten before God. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. How many of you know when something's important, you pay attention to the details? When it's time to take pictures, ladies will spend hours on their hair and their makeup and picking the right outfit. I mean, they'll lay out, you know, their whole wardrobe on the bed and what goes with this and what goes with that and what's the jewelry and it's just, and they're coordinating. I mean, they pay attention to details because those pictures, those are important. You know, gourmet cooks, they want to get the finest ingredients, the freshest ingredients as they make their masterpieces, their concoctions, their creations. They focus on the details. football players, if they want to perfect, you know, to be great, they're studying their technique. They're perfecting their technique. They're watching film. They're learning, what did I do wrong? How can I be better? What are some signs on my opponent when I play them to know how can I get an advantage? How can I get an edge? How many hunters do we have here this morning? Before this season, you scoped your sight in. You made sure it was accurate so you could nail a penny at 500 yards. I mean, you pay attention to the details when they're important. And you talk about the kind of detail God pays attention to us. It says here in Luke that the hairs of your head, or the lack thereof, they are numbered. They are numbered. And, you know, oh, there's one right now. That's 262,834. I mean, God knows the hairs of your head. He has numbered them. That's the kind of detail. That's the precision. God pays attention to your life. That's how important, that's how valuable you are to Him. His attention on your life and on you in your circumstance and situation, you can't argue it away and say He doesn't care. God's attention is there for you. It's undivided. It's complete. It's total, because He loves you. He's your Father. He is your everlasting Father. Let's take a look at the second aspect of the fatherhood of God, okay? After we see the Father's attention, next we have the Father's affection. The Father's affection. It's not enough that God pays attention to us, but He has affection. I mean, someone can pay attention to you, but it can be in a negative way. My sister, when she came up as a freshman in high school, there was a teacher that did not like her. And he was gunning for her. He was in she was in his crosshairs, and I mean, she couldn't do anything right. And the reason for that is because the year before, there was something her big brother had done as a senior. And so he was gunning for my sister. She had negative attention. The thing is, God's attention is not negative, it's positive. His attention on you is a good thing. It's affectionate. In Romans chapter 8, the Apostle Paul wrote this to the Christians in Rome. He says, "You did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father." Friends, God has adopted us. God wanted us. Turn to your neighbor and say, God wants you. God wants you. God called out to us. God initiated relationship with us. God has brought us into His family because that's what He wants. He wants relationship, and it says, Abba, Father. That term Abba, you can write this in your notes. Abba means daddy. You see, you don't have to call God sir or mister or Lord. Yes, we need to have reference for Him, but he says, call me daddy. You know, when our kids were younger, it was always, you know, I walk in the house, daddy's home! You know, I love hearing that term. You know it's kind of weird when they're 42, you know, or something like that, but, you know, there's nothing like the word daddy. It's a term of endearment, a term of affection. You know, it's kind of like when your kids call you father. That's usually not a good thing. Father, you know, but that term of endearment as daddy, and God wants to be a daddy. He wants to be someone that says, hey, climb up into my lap. Let me hold you. Let me just be with you. As I was preparing for today, I felt the Lord say that there are many people, many believers that go through life with an orphan spirit. They're a Christian, but they feel like they're an orphan, like God is distant and God is far away, and that is not the truth. God has adopted you. He has brought you in, and He's made you His beloved child. You know, if you're born to your parents, I mean, they don't get to choose you. They're stuck with you. But when you're adopted, it's like, I want that one. That's the one I want. And that's what God's saying about all of us. I want you, Michael David. I want you, Trina. I want you, Sandy. I want you, Bill. I want you, Wayne. God wants you. He has chosen you. You're not alone. You haven't been abandoned. You're not on the outside looking in. You're not the black sheep of the family. You are incredibly loved this morning. There are times in our life when we are spending time with God, we're praying, we're going after Him, and He seems a million miles away. There's times when we're praying and we feel like we're saying the same thing over and over. There's nothing new. There's nothing different. Here's the thing. And this came to me as we were having worship. I felt God wanted to include this, so it's not in your notes. In Lamentations, you can write this down. Lamentations verse 22 to 26. It says, "Through the Lord's mercies were not consumed because His compassions fail not." His love for us doesn't fail. It says, they are new. His compassions are new every morning. His love for us is fresh. You might feel stale and stagnant in your relationship with God. God is saying, it's new. It's fresh. It's here. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul, therefore I hope in Him. The Lord is good to those who wait for Him. Don't get impatient if you're not sensing God. Don't get impatient if it feels far away. Don't get impatient if you feel He's not paying attention or He's not affectionate to you. It says to wait upon Him, and He is good to those who wait upon Him. To the soul who seeks Him, it is good that one should hope and wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. If you feel alone and that God's not helping you, all you need to do is say, Daddy, help, I need you. It says, when you call, He will answer. He is there for you. There's one last aspect of the fatherhood of God that we're going to look at this morning, and that His attention and His affection, they are everlasting. He's our everlasting Father. His attention and His affection, they never stop. And that Isaiah wants us to know that God will not quit on you. God will not stop. God will not shrink back. We see what this is what the writer of Hebrews wrote in chapter 11, verse 5 and 6 in the Message. It says, God assured us, I will sometimes let you down. Is that what it says? No, I will never let you down, never walk off and lead you. We can boldly quote, God is there, ready to help. I'm fearless no matter what. Who or what can get to me? God's care for you is everlasting. You know, I keep a flashlight with me in my car, have one by the bedside, and it's great at night because you just turn the flashlight on and you've got it. But how many of you know that flashlights run out of batteries? Or it grows dim and then, got to get that brighter. How many of you ever hit your flashlight trying to make it get brighter? A few of you do. Yeah, His care for you, it never dims. His light never dims. His love never fades. He is constant. It burns bright. Jesus wants to give you the light of God and make it full and bright and shining and powerful in your life. He hasn't quit, and He will never quit on you. He is your everlasting everlasting Father.
You have been listening to the podcast of Casper Faith Assembly in Casper, Wyoming. For more information, please email us casperfaith@gmail.com or call us at 307-265-9121. We hope you've enjoyed this presentation of Casper Faith Assembly, where relationships matter most.